thinking about the minimum distance, and I will try to explain something which is maybe the unique method to obtain a lower bound on the minimum distance, which is the injectivity radius method, or the injectivity radius bounds. And I will talk about two joint works, the first with Alain Couvreur and Gilles Zemmour, and second work with Zhentao Li and Stéphane Thomassé. So first, we saw many arguments for LDPC codes, for quantum LDPC codes. I will take another point of view. It's just a beautiful combinatorial problem, studying the minimum distance. We'll see that it's clearly different than that what happens in the classical setting. If we can try to adapt classical LDPC codes using the CSS construction, when we have two classical codes, we can obtain a quantum code. So we can, it's a natural idea to generalize classical LDPC code. But if we do this, we will obtain a classical minimum distance. Although in the classical setting, we will obtain a constant minimum distance. Sorry. And in the classical setting, we have a minimum distance, which is linear. So it's strikingly different. And the best that we can do is almost a square root of the length, which is clearly different. So we need new strategy. We need quantum strategies. And a third argument for studying the minimum distance is that we need to understand degeneracy to obtain good bounds on the minimum distance. And it is something which is not well understood. As a proof, we cannot decode because of this, because of the degeneracy. We cannot decode LDPC code correctly because of this. And we cannot compute the capacity of quantum channels because of degeneracy. So the fact that this is the key ingredient here is also important for maybe other subjects in quantum information. My first part will be a kind of survey of topological codes, not exhaustive, but I will try to explain this method, which is how to obtain a lower bound on the minimum distance. And we will apply it to a clearly different construction after. And I will talk about different classes of topological codes. So first, what can we say about the minimum distance and what kind of code do we consider? I will talk about topological codes. So the most famous example, the historical example, is Kitaev toric code. We take a square lattice of the torus. So here, the opposite boundaries are identified. When we walk on the torus, when we arrive here, we are here. So we have a square tiling. On each edge of the tiling, we place a qubit. And we'll define operators, a family of commuting operators, the site operators and the phase operators, which are for a vertex, I put x around this vertex on the four qubits incident to this vertex. And I do the same thing with faces and z operators. And automatically, from the structure of the tiling, I will have the commutation between these two operators. So I have a non-trivial quantum code. And it is defined by low-weight stabilizers. It's, well, quantum LDPC codes. And now, what can we say about the parameters of this code? What is the minimum distance? So when an error appears, we can consider only a Z error. And when an error appears, we can measure the X stabilizers that provide us the syndrome, which is the endpoint of the chain of the error. And given this, we will have to correct. So what kind of error are undetectable? It's the set of errors which form cycles. If there is no endpoint, there is no boundary, we have no syndrome, so we do not see anything. And in that case, two possibilities. Either this error has no effect, or it is problematic. It has no effect if it is a sum of faces, because we know that sum of faces correspond to Z stabilizers by definition. And if it is not a sum of faces, the previous one was a sum of the four faces. It's something that I can feel, in other words. And in that case, it is not a sum of faces. It's something which wraps around the torus. So we have a problematic error, and we cannot measure anything from this error. It will be from this that we define the minimum distance. It's the shortest length of a cycle. That means something without boundaries, which is not a sum of faces. So it's the minimum weight of a problematic error. And in that case, it's an error which wraps around the torus. So we will find a minimum distance m for m times m tiling. But we would like to understand this lower bound, the fact that we have a growing minimum distance in that case, and not in the classical constructions, in the quantum construction derived from the classical constructions. So we'd like to have a general argument, a deep reason why do we have this square root. And to do this, we will look at the local structure of the graph. We fix a vertex, and what do we see around this vertex? If we take larger and larger balls, we have no identification till some sufficiently large radius. That means that we are in the infinite plane. We are not in the torus, we are in the plane. We have no identification when we are in a small ball, in a sufficiently large ball.
What do you mean by identification?
I mean that... yes, I don't... In fact, in that case, it's the boundaries, but there is no boundaries. How do we construct the torus? We take an infinite plane, the infinite square lattice, and we cut a square we'll define a sublattice of this infinite lattice. And we will identify the edges up to translation by this larger lattice. So that gives us a transformation from the infinite plane onto our torus. We have an application, and it is a surjective application. We have many vertices which will give which will give the same vertex below. These two vertices have the same image. And by translation, we obtain an infinite number of pre-image. And what I want to say is that if we look at every vertex, we take a ball, and we restrict our attention to a ball, then we will have something which is injective. So we can restrict our attention with an injective application. So it's the injectivity radius. And that means that we have exactly the structure of the plane. We are exactly in Z2. And we can use the structure of Z2 to get an information about the cycles in the torus.
This is only defined for closed manifolds, not for ones with boundaries.
Yes. I will only consider closed manifolds. Okay. Yes. No, it's not here. So we have a local isomorphism in a sufficiently large ball, which depends on the size of the torus. And what we can say, what I will call the injectivity radius bound, is if I have a small cycle, a cycle which is included in a small ball, then by this isomorphism, this local isomorphism between the torus and the lattice Z2, it is also a cycle in Z2. I can lift it in the plane, and I know that in the plane, every cycle is a sum of faces. So every cycle corresponds to a trivial error. And that means that it doesn't appear in the minimum distance, in the computation of the minimum distance. So thanks to this, we can say that if we are in a small ball, we have no problematic errors. And we will adapt this ID with another cover instead of the plane and another projection, depending on the family we study. But before, I will finish with the parameters of topological codes. So we can give exactly the same argument to obtain a lower bound on the minimum distance of color codes, of 2D color codes, embedded in square lattices, or surface code on hexagonal lattices, or on square lattices. We can have exactly the same argument. And can we go beyond the square roots? No, we cannot, because of this bound, for example. So it applies to a large class of codes. And it tells us first that we cannot go beyond the square root. And if we have a constant rate, then the minimum distance is bounded. That can be a little bit surprising, because we saw yesterday that with hyperbolic codes.
No, from the injectivity, you cannot derive this theory. No,
no, okay. It's something else. From the injectivity radius will be the lower bound. Here, it's another method. So we saw that we can have a constant rate and a logarithmic minimum distance with some codes. So maybe it's not the end of the story. And we can go in two directions to go beyond this bound, beyond this inequality. We can remove the condition, the lattice is included in a square lattice. The lattice is Euclidean, it's equivalent. And if we remove this, we will go to hyperbolic geometry, we will go to hyperbolic codes. So I will talk a little bit about hyperbolic codes, and after we'll see that we can also go to higher dimension and talk about topological codes in higher dimension, and we can also beat this bound. So hyperbolic codes. First, what do I call a surface? I will just consider a closed surface without boundaries. We can assume it's orientable to simplify. So what is it, a surface? It's just a torus or G torus stuck together. And it's a two-manifold with some holes. The number of holes is the genus, it's G. I will only assume this. And when we have a surface, we can define exactly as Kitaev did a surface code. We just take a set of vertices embedded in this surface, in this manifold, and edges, which define the tiling, a finite tiling. And once we have a finite tiling, we can define poly operators, which commute by defining site operators and faces operators, exactly as Kitaev did. And we obtain a stabilizer code. It is also an LDPC code, because we can assume that the degree of the vertices is low and the length of the faces is also small. And with this, what are the parameters of the code that we obtain? The number of qubits is the number of edges of the tiling, because qubits are placed on the edges. The dimension, the number of encoded qubits, is given by the genus of the surface, by the number of holes. And the minimum distance is given by the length of the shortest cycle, which is not a sum of faces, in the graph or in its dual, in the tiling or in its dual. And what we would like is something which is better than Bravi planetary bound, so we will try to do something non-Euclidean. So what can we do? A natural generalization of the plane and its curve. is to replace a square lattice with the phase, with the vertices of degree 4 by a pentagonal lattice with vertices of degree 5. And by construction, it will be something non-Euclidean. You cannot define this lattice in a square tiling. It's an hyperbolic lattice. We'll just consider the combinatorial structure. It's a pentagon, and I will consider 5 pentagons or each vertex. I can draw it. It's an infinite lattice. I don't care about the geometry, just combinatorial object, because we place qubit on edges. We define combinatorially stabilizers, so we don't care about the geometry. And with this, we have an infinite lattice. We would like a finite version of this lattice to define a code. So we take a quotient. It's not exactly as we can do in the case of the plane to get the torus. It's really easy. We just identify opposite boundaries and we cut the plane in square. Here, it's more difficult, but we can do this from algebraic object. We can represent the infinite graph by a group and quotient this group to obtain a finite version of this group and of the graph. And here, for example, to explain that it's not so easy to identify, just for a genus 5, we have identification on the boundary, for example. This edge is here, and after, if I continue, the 112 is here, and the 1214 is here, and it seems really difficult to do, but we have an algebraic construction that does this for us.
How many total vertices do you
have? Sorry?
What's the total number of them?
Here, I think it's 40.
14?
40 edges, and 16 vertices. We can check. There is 16 vertices and genus 5, thanks to Euler characteristic and the regularity, we can recompute. I can check after if you want. It's just the smallest example that we can draw, and it's already terrible. But what do we obtain with this? It's something that I will call hyperbolic surface codes. And they have a constant rate and a logarithmic minimum distance, so they are well beyond Bravais-Poulenterhal bound. And this construction has been proposed first by Friedman, Meyer, and Liu. And the combinatorial version, which is not exactly that the ones that I presented, but something very similar, has been proposed by Zemmour. And we can also construct hyperbolic color codes exactly with the same ID. The difficulty is to be able to color the lattice, but it is possible. And we have the same parameters. We are also beyond this bound. And know that we are beyond this bound, but we saw that a logarithmic is maybe not sufficient for our fault tolerance. So can we get the same rate, but something slightly better? Or is it better with hyperbolic codes? Here we have a lower bound. Maybe it's better than a logarithm. And is there a general trade-off as Bravais-Poulenterhal bound, which contain all surface code defined on every two manifold? Toric to manifold or hyperbolic or every genus, it will be interesting to have something general. And to do this, I will talk about a geometrical object, which is the continuous version of the minimum distance on the lattice. So we consider a continuous manifold, not a lattice embedded, not the combinatorial structure, but the continuous structure. And we will define the systole, which corresponds exactly to the minimum distance. It's the continuous version of the minimum distance. It is the shortest cycle, which is not a boundary. The shortest cycle that we cannot fill. For example, in this torus, topologically it's a torus, where is the systole? It is something that we cannot fill, so something that we drop on the torus in one direction or in the other direction. Maybe this one is very long, but we can see the systole here. It is the shortest one. And the question, the remark, which is an old remark in geometry, is that if we fix this systole, if we fix this length, and if we try to draw a genus, a torus, this is the systole, this is the shortest length of a cycle that has non-trivial homologies that I can find in the torus. What is the volume of this torus? What can I get? And the volume cannot be too small, because if I try to reduce the volume as most as possible, then I will reduce this cycle till the point where it becomes smaller than the systole, which is the smallest one. So I have to stop at some point. So there is an inequality here between the volume and the systole. And the second remark is that if I take a surface with a lot of holes, then when I add holes, I add area inside holes. So we can also imagine that the area can be larger, the area of the manifold of the surface can be larger when we have a large genus. And the optimal result is this. What is the area of the manifold? It's at least something which is the systole square that we can see in this example. The minimum volume is reached when we have a cycle here which has the same length as the systole. So we can see that it's the square of the systole. And when we have a large genus, we have a contribution to the genus because we add holes, so we add area. And this bound is exactly what we want for our topological codes.
The area?
The area is the area of the manifold. Is the volume of the manifold. It's a two-manifold, so I will tell area.
So when you were speaking about the volume before, you were really meaning the surface?
Yes, the two-dimensional volume. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a 2D object. And what we would like to go from this inequality to what we want to the trade-off about the parameters of topological codes is to transform each contribution to replace each term by a term as a function of the parameters of topological codes. So we can assume something. We already know that the genus is proportional to the dimension, to the number of encoded qubits. It's by construction. And after, we have to replace the area and the systole. The systole is defined to be something similar to the minimum distance. So what we will do is construct a metric such that when we have a finite tiling in this manifold, the metric is regular for this tiling. That means that all the faces of the tiling have approximately the same area, and the systole, the length of this cycle, of this continuous cycle, is close to the shortest length, which is the number of ages in the tiling. And we can do this, and we obtain a trade-off, which is more general than Bravais-Poulenc-Littoral trade-off, because we have this contribution, log k, which corresponds to the genus, and which gives us that, first, we can achieve constant rate and logarithmic distance, as we have with hyperbolic codes, and hyperbolic codes are optimal. We cannot go beyond this logarithmic distance for topological codes and constant rate. So unfortunately, we cannot go beyond this logarithm. But we can also talk about higher dimensional codes. And in that case, we have a similar definition. We'll talk about homological codes or topological codes. It depends on the papers. But instead of placing the qubits on the edges, we will place qubits on the t-dimensional cell for some dimension t. And we will place stabilizers in the dimension below and in the dimension above. And like this, we have orthogonality, like between sides and faces, from the structure of the tiling. And we have also the fact that the errors that we cannot detect, the error which have syndrome zero, correspond to cycles, correspond to objects which have no boundary. So we have error which correspond to T cycles, and error which correspond to D minus T cycles, where D is the dimension of the manifold. We have a duality between X error and Z error. We don't care about this in the case of the Turing code because D is 2. So we look at one cycle and 2 minus 1 cycles. And the minimum distance will be the shortest length between these two kind of cycles. So this asks the question, is there a trade-off between these two quantity which defines the minimum distance? That is there a trade-off between the D minus T systole and the T systole? And I will just draw something. So for example, if we consider a 3D Turing code, we have a cube with identification of the opposite boundaries, and we will have two kinds of problematic errors, of undetectable errors. We will have something which is a one-dimensional cycle. Oh. Which is something like that, with the identification it's well a cycle. And we will have another cycle, which is a 3 minus 1 dimensional cycle. So it's something which have no boundary. It's a 2 manifold, which is included in this 3 manifold. And the minimum distance will be the shortest volume between these two. And what we can imagine, is there a trade-off between this kind of cycles and this kind of cycles? We can imagine that to obtain the volume of the cube, we just take the product of the two volume and we will get the global volume. So it's a trade-off like that we would like to obtain. But unfortunately, so the product of the two systoles, the T-dimensional systole and the D minus T-dimensional, should be something proportional to the volume at most. But unfortunately, it's not true. And it's a deep result in geometry, and that has been proved by Friedman, Mayo, and Luer. And with a three-dimensional construction. And why is it interesting? Because it is a unique construction of quantum code. We have a topological construction of quantum code from this, which has a minimum distance which is larger than the square root. Only very slightly larger, but from this we can conjecture that it's possible to go beyond the square root. And about the dimension, it encodes only one logical qubit, so it's not very satisfying. But it's a beautiful example. So I will stop here for topological code. I didn't talk also, for example, of the construction of Gut and Lyubotsky, but we heard about this yesterday. So, and what we will try to do is say something about the minimum distance of another construction of quantum LDPC codes, and a construction which is clearly different. Because here, as we saw, most of the construction, most of the topological construction are very similar. We always have something constructed from homology, but that also means that they are also all bounded from homological results. So we would like something very different, at least different. We have only a very small number of construction. And this is something different. The construction has been proposed by McKay, Mitchison, and Chocolay. They prove that we can construct a quantum code starting from every classical code. That means we take a binary matrix, and we consider the Kelly graph generated by the columns of this matrix. I will define it in the next slide. And what they did is that if we take the adjacency matrix of this graph, then it is the stabilizer matrix of a code. We have the commutation relation, and the parameter seems good. The numerical performance seems interesting. And this matrix is sparse. So we have quantum LDPC code from this construction. But first, what is this Kelly graph? So we have a matrix with column that I will denote C1, C2, CI. And the Kelly graph of F2 to the R defined by the column is you take a vector of F2 to the R, and its neighbors are given by added a column. So we have four columns, for example, and the neighbors of the vector 0 are C1, C2, C3, and C4. And I can continue. The neighbors of C1, I can add one of the four columns to obtain a neighbor. So if I add C1, I come back here, and the three other ones are here. So we have a graph, and from this graph, we'll define a stabilizer code. We'll put qubits on the vertices, and we will define X stabilizers and Z stabilizers with support are the sphere. So I take a vertex, I take the sphere of radius 1, that is the set of neighbors of this vertex, and I put an X stabilizer, an X operator on these four qubits. Like this, I will get a family of poly operators of low weight, and they commute by the structure of this graph. So we have a family of quantum code, of quantum LDPC codes, and we can see undetectable errors, which will give us the minimum distance. They correspond to errors acting on a set of vertices which has an even intersection with the spheres, which commute with the spheres. That means that has an even intersection with the spheres. For example, if we take the identity matrix with four columns, we'll have the four neighbors, and then we'll have all the sum of two columns, and all the sum of three columns, and the sum of all the columns. And maybe you recognize this graph. It is the hypercube. So it is F2 to the n when we have the identity matrix. But unfortunately, if we compute the parameters of this code, we obtain that the quantum code is nothing. It has dimension 0. It encodes no information. But it will be the most important code in this construction. It will be very useful. And what I will say is that it has no information. It contains no information. That means that there is no parametric error. Every error in this code has no effect, exactly as an error that I lift here has no effect. So it can maybe be useful. And we are interested in the minimum distance. So the number of qubits, the number of physical qubits, the length is the number of vertices. And the minimum distance is defined combinatorially. It's the cardinality of a set, which is the support of the error, which is a set of vertices which has an even intersection with the sphere. That means that it has syndrome 0, and it is not a sum of sphere. It is not a sum of stabilizers. If it is a sum of sphere, it has no effect, so it's not a problematic error. And what we would like to say is, can we apply the injectivity radius method? Can we say something about the local structure of the graph? So we'll look at this local structure. When we have the identity matrix, we know what do we get. But when we have a relation between the column, when we have something which is not the identity, assume that we have a sum of four columns, which is 0. Then we have a lot of identifications of vertices in the graph. For example, we have this equality. That means that these two vertices are the same. we have identifications of vertices. But that also means that when we have no relation, we have no identification. So when we have no relation, we are in the hypercube. So exactly as in the toric code, we have a graph and we have a projection onto the graph. Here it is a graph associated with the identity, and here it is a graph associated with another matrix where we have an identification. If we have this equation, we know that C1 and C2 are the same vertex as C3 plus C4. So we have this graph. We have a projection and we have a local isomorphism. And now we can apply the injectivity radius method. We can say that if we have an error which is undetectable, and which is small, which is included in a small ball, this ball, then it is an error of the graph associated with the identity. In this graph, there is no problematic error, so it's not a problematic error. That means that I don't care about this error. It doesn't appear in the computation of the minimum distance. So from this, we can obtain a lower bound on the minimum distance. We'll just say, if we have a problematic error, it has to leave this ball. If it is included in this ball, it's not problematic. So how do we leave such a ball? We consider an error which is undetectable. That means that it contains an even number of vertices on each vertex, of neighbors of each vertex.
So do I understand correctly that rank of the matrix gives a lower bound on the distance?
The minimum distance of the code associated.
The rank, that would be the minimum.
Sorry, the rank?
The rank of the matrix.
The number D here?
Right.
It is the minimum distance of the code of parity check matrix H. Because it's the shortest relation between the column. So So we have a binary matrix, we have a classical code. From the parameters of this classical code, we will derive a lower bound on the parameters of the quantum code. And we have to leave this ball, so assume that we start with a vertex, with every vertex, assume it is zero. We have an error here. Then we know that each of the four spheres contains another error, at least another one. That means that we will have, for example, C1 plus C2, without loss of generality. And when we have such a vertex, it can satisfy at most two spheres, the sphere associated with C1 and the sphere associated with C2. That means that when we have a degree n here, we have n spheres that give us n over 2 new vertices in the next layer. So the weight of the error is at least 1 here plus n over 2. And we can continue. We have to leave the radius d minus 1 over 2, so we can continue very far. And if we do this with the radius 4, we obtain something which is a quadratic in n. But unfortunately, the problem becomes more and more difficult because the graph is more and more complicated. Here we have only a left degree, which is 2. But after, it becomes 3 in the next layer and 4 in the layer after, and it's more and more complicated. So at this point, we are not able to say something about the next layer, the next radius, radius 6. So we get a lower bound, which is here, which is n squared obtained at the second layer times d, which is the radius, the injectivity radius. And this is not tight, but it's a difficult combinatorial problem. And we can just remark that in this construction, we can maybe have interesting code because, for example, for one family, for one simple family, we can achieve a minimum distance and a dimension and a number of logical qubits, which are both a square root of the length, and this is beyond topological codes, for example. So it's clearly something different if it is beyond topological codes that cannot be a topological code. And how can we go beyond? What we did recently is adapting an ID from homological expansion, from expansion in hypergraphs. So what do we say? We will look at the different layers where we have errors and where we have syndromes. The syndromes correspond to the spheres that I want to check, that I want to have an even intersection with zero. So I will look at the t-th layer of the error, and at the next layer, how many spheres do I have to satisfy? And I would like to say that the number of syndromes that are not satisfied is always larger and larger, becomes larger, and the weight of the error becomes also larger when the radius increases. So we can say something simple. If we have a number of spheres at the layer t minus 1, the left degree is t minus 1. That means that each sphere, each error can satisfy at most t minus 1 syndrome. Exactly as we had here, each error that I add here can satisfy two syndromes. So when we are in the layer t minus 1, we can satisfy t minus 1 syndromes. That means that we have a weight of the error which is proportional to the number of spheres on the next layer. And now we would like to say that when we have the number of spheres, how many errors we will have in the next layer? Assume that we have a small t, then we are able to prove that the number of errors that we have to add to satisfy all the syndromes, all the spheres, is almost multiplied by n when t is small. And when t becomes larger, it's not as good. And when t is close to a square root of n, we can see that we will have something which is nothing. We have this lemma gives us nothing. So we'll have to stop at some point, but we can go till a radius which is a square root of the length. And how do we do this? The method is especially interesting because it's related to expansion. What we would like to say is that when we have an error, we look at its boundary on the next layer, and its boundary has a large size. So it's a notion of expansion, but we look at the notion of expansion in a coset. We are interested in an error up to a stabilizer, not just one fixed error, but an error up to a sum of spheres. That means that we are interested in the expansion of a coset, the expansion of an equivalence class, and this corresponds exactly to the notion of homological expansion. And using this argument, we can go till a radius which is when the minimum distance is large, which is the square root of n, and we obtain a contribution for each layer. We have a contribution which gives us something which is a lower bound in 2 to the square root of n, where the minimum distance, where the length is 2 to the n, is proportional to 2 to the n. So we have something which is not a polylog as before, which is not polynomial, which is in between. So, and it is not tight. We are only at a radius square root of n, where we could maybe be at a radius proportional to n when the minimum distance is linear. So that's encouraging for the parameters of these codes. And to conclude, I would like to say that one of the first tasks is really to extend our catalog of construction, because only a rare number of construction have a growing minimum distance, and most of them come from Kitaev ID. So they have similar behavior. We would like something different. Here we have something which is different, but there are still a lot of open questions. We can first improve the previous bound, but this is maybe very difficult. And we have no idea of the dimension of this code. We can check numerically that for a lot of classical construction, of a lot of classical codes, when we take H, which is a parity check matrix of a classical code, we have interesting parameters, we have non-trivial codes, quantum codes, but we have no formula, we have no bounds, we have nothing. And an interesting point for fault tolerance and for the decoding problem is that when we look at the number of stabilizers that we have 2n stabilizer for length n. That means that we have a lot of redundancy, we have a lot of stabilizers with low weights. And that can be useful first to improve the decoding, but also for fault tolerance, because automatically we will measure many stabilizers of low weight, more than we need. So we can opt for an improvement of the performance, of the decoding performance here. And after, I have to cite the construction of Tillich-Zimmer and its generalization, which gives, which is certainly the best construction currently, which is gives a constant rate and a square root for the minimum distance. Thank you.
What is the n for these codes? You know, the distance?
It's, yeah, I should have write this. So here, n is 2 to the r, where r can be assumed to be proportional to n. So let's say, no, okay, 2 to the r. And we have a minimum distance, which is at least 2 to a square root of n. So we have something which is
R the rank of this matrix you take?
And H is a matrix of size n times R. That means that if we take a classical family with constant rate, we have R proportional to n, and we can replace this by n. So we have something which is between a polylog and a polynomial, and we have a construction which achieves a square root. So that maybe suggests that we can achieve a polynomial minimum distance, at least when the minimum distance of the classical code is not too bad. But it seems very difficult to prove. And after, maybe for a specific construction, if you choose very well your family of classical code, it's possible to say something. The construction for which we can say something is associated with the matrix H, which is the identity matrix. And after, at the end, we add a column with one everywhere. If we take this matrix, which is very simple, we obtain a square root of n for the minimum distance and for the dimension.
What is the case there?
In that case, we can obtain 2 to the n, 2 to the n over 2, and 2 to the n over 2 minus 1, or plus 1 maybe. That means n square root of n and square root of n.
And what's the degree of the check?
And the degree of the check is n. So it's not constant. It's a logarithm. But we need, if we want to achieve the capacity, we know that we need a growing number, a growing weight for checks. So a logarithm is not so bad, at least for fixed lengths, that could give something.
And it's uniform?
It's uniform. It's regular. And we have we have n square checks. So this is the high redundancy of the checks. Yes?
Do you have decoding algorithms for this family of codes, and have you done any numerics?
No, I have no numerics. They did numerics for example, for the code associated with H, which is a parity check matrix of the Golay code. That was at in 2007, that was good compared to other numerical performance. I didn't compare this recently, and I have no specific decoding algorithm better than the belief propagation.
Mm-hmm. So have you tried by taking other cyclic codes other than the repetition code? If you just take a circular matrix or something.
Yes, we tried the cyclic construction or quasi-cyclic construction for numerical result. We can compute the dimension, and that gives something non-trivial, but we are not able to prove it. Here, the proof is quite technical. We really exhibit a basis. We compute exactly the rank of the matrix A, of the stabilizer matrix. And it's quite difficult. So it seems difficult to adapt to another construction.
You referred to H as like a classical code.
Yes.
But does it need to be a code in the sense, does it need to have any good coding parameters?
No.
OK, so you can't really put any binary matrix there.
At least we need a large minimum distance if we want to apply this bound. But it's the only thing. Here, we don't have a code which is specifically good. It's a repetition code. So
do you know if there exists H matrices that are very bad codes but give good construction? Is there any relation except for the bad?
No, I don't know. We have only numerical example for short lengths. The difficulty is also that the length grows exponentially, so we cannot do many numerics.
Okay.